This is another argument we've been having.
Okay.
I wouldn't listen to us for an hour. No. And I like us. I am looking it up now.
So since this is the last podcast we have as before the Rito Awards, which take place Sunday, April 10th at La Maison du Citoyen in Gatineau, the pre-Rito Awards obviously being the Professional Theatre Awards for Ottawa, now in its third year.
Well, this is the fourth gala.
The fourth gala, okay. So I got that wrong.
Three and four are very close.
They are. Sometimes yeah. Oh, look, it says fourth annual right at the top of this page. Hey. So I hope everybody's got their tickets. I know I have mine. Tickets are on sale now at www.prerideauawards.ca. And anyone can purchase a ticket. You don't necessarily have to be involved in the theater community. You can just like it a lot. They are Canada's only bilingual theater awards. And we're going to go over now a little bit about our picks. Hey, this is fun. This is kind of like Oscars, except about theater. So I'm going to start with the first category we'll cover is Technical Stage Management Award. Now, this I know is, it covers a variety of different technical and stage management categories. It's sort of the catch-all.
Yeah, you know? I feel like that one's impossible to talk about because it's not something... The nominations for that award category come from letters submitted by the companies, mm-hmm. and then the jurors read the letters and they vote based on that. Mm-hmm. So from an audience perspective, mm-hmm. it's impossible to say who we think right. should win. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I feel like maybe
well,
we should
okay, we'll
one.
Skip that, but I'll tell. We'll just go over who's nominated.
Sure.
We have Nicolas Allais for It's Just a Stage, Modern Greek Theatre. I believe he was stage manager on that. Rebecca Amon for Macbeth and Trouble on Dibble Street, stage managing for St. Lawrence Shakespeare Festival. Jim Fritz, for Pulse Theatre Collective. I believe he was the production manager on that show. Hilary Nickel of Flea in Her Ear, 730 Productions, which again, I believe is stage management. And for stage management, Jane Vanstone, Osborne, Turn of the Screw, Screwdriver Collective. Okay, so we'll move on now to Emerging Artist Award again, unless we have passion about discussing it. I'll just at least give the nominees. So Emerging Artist Award covers the artists who are in the first 3 years of their professional career.
Yeah, for the 2010 awards, it's the first 5 years.
First 5 years, okay.
For 2011, it's 3 years.
First three,
yeah.
Okay. So there you go.
It's taking them less long to emerge from their
yes.
Their
but I think this
pupa.
Is
their
pod. That's, yeah. That's actually something that I've noticed seems to be going as an industry standard that people now for emerging artists, other awards and other discussions are moving from 5 to 3 years.
Okay.
I've actually seen this in other cities. So the Emerging Artist Award category covers Anna Chambers, stage manager, Nathan Ings, actor, Kari Leslie, actor, Guy Marsan, actor, and Hilary Nickel, stage manager.
All of whom are very deserving
absolutely.
Of nominations.
Yeah, this category is also difficult to speak to.
You sort of just have to pick a horse
yeah.
and be like, I like, because,
yeah.
I mean,
personally, I'm excited that Kari Leslie was nominated in this mm-hmm. category. She's a friend, but also a performer that I really, really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And I am hoping that she is going to stick around in Ottawa. So even just having a professional nomination is good. It encourages her. So
mm-hmm.
I'm happy to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Anna Chambers is everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
Doing everything.
Every bowl of rice.
Yeah.
So to see some recognition towards
mm-hmm.
her, I also like that. I don't know... well, Hilary Nickel, I also know, but I don't know Nathan Ings or Guy Marsan. I don't really know their work. I don't
Guy
know.
Guy Marsan was in Six at Home.
Yeah,
and,
I know who he
but
is, but
Nathan
I don't...
He
I don't,
does
yeah.
a lot of the other... a lot of...
Stilt Union.
Experimental
and,
stuff.
Yeah,
and Otesha and that.
Yeah. Okay, so why don't we move on now? This
yeah.
one I think we'll have stuff to talk about. We're going to get into Outstanding Fringe Production. The first nominated show, It's Just a Stage, Modern Geek Theater, of course, that's a one-man show by Ken Godmere. Multinational Grape Corporation by Negative Theater, believe they're Turkish, are they not?
Yes.
Yes, and this was quite the rage. It was like a dark horse hit at the Fringe. Shadows by Queen Mab Perry Rapos Productions, which was recently remounted and slightly reworked at the Undercurrents Festival, featuring Margot MacDonald and Sarah Finn, and Lynn Cox being involved in that. Six at Home, Zopira Theatre, that was at Laurier House, the site-specific walk around the mansion play, and the last goddamn performance piece presented by Black Sheep Theatre.
Mm-hmm. I think we can all agree that Shadows is probably the front runner in this category. But I would love, I mean, Multinational Grape Corporations was one of my absolute favorite shows from Fringe last year.
Oh yeah.
So
I caught the bouquet.
Yeah, I would love to see them win. I would love to see them win, but I would also love to see Six at Home win.
Yeah, I
think if I was to pick, if I was God of the awards, it would go to Multinational Grape, because that show to me embodies Fringe. If you want to pick out an outstanding Fringe
production. That's right. Because Shadows is good theater.
Yes,
and in fact, Shadows in here is maybe even just. Is weakened by the fact that it's been remounted since.
Yeah.
Because we no longer think of it necessarily
as a Fringe show.
In its Fringe incarnation, right?
Sure, yeah.
And the Undercurrents remount is far and away what it should have evolved into.
And what is kind of stuck in people's brains at this point.
Yeah, so it would be unfair to judge it on that, which I don't think they would have done.
No.
Six at Home, I mean, is wonderful. And yeah, and if it weren't for Six at Home, I don't think Turn of the Screw would have happened in the space where it did.
Exactly.
And so Six at Home has had far-reaching implications beyond just being that.
Sure, yeah.
The multinational great corporations, just that, I mean, part of that just came from Asghar Sinar. He wanted to do Beckett, but he wanted to change Beckett. And then he's like, "Oh, can't really do that." And it evolved from there. A lot of it is autobiographical as well. A lot of it chronicles his experiences and that. And just Chara Burke, it's so intense there. And you're looking at it and you're like, before your mind even catches up to ask you, "Well, do you understand the narrative that's going on here?" No, you're caught up in it. It's just fun to watch.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll move on next. Outstanding Adaptation. Now, this has does not have five. There's a limit to five nominees per category with the Rito Awards, but it has to be eligible. So this does limit it to three shows having been eligible for Outstanding Adaptation. First is A Flea in Her Ear by 730 Productions. That's an adaptation by David Whiteley. Heroes, Great Canadian Theatre Company, adapted by someone who did an adaptation of the original work.
The nominations in this category are actually for the companies who produce the show, so that's why
they don't list who it is.
Listed there.
Okay. And the radio show It's a Wonderful Life by Gladstone Productions.
Yeah. I didn't see two out of three of those, so...
I didn't see the radio show. I saw Heroes, and yet for the life of me cannot remember anything about it, so that's not a good sign.
That is not a good sign, because you got a mind like a steel trap.
I'm not picking any of those. I don't care about this category.
Okay, moving on. So we'll go now.
that is a statement in and of itself. That's abstention, folks, which is a valid vote in a democracy.
Abstention. All right, so we'll go on to the next category, which I absolutely must not comment on because it's a conflict of interest for me. Outstanding New Creation, Airport Security by Grupo Rubato. Hey! Yeah. Facts, Great Canadian Theatre Company, New Theatre of Ottawa. Shadows, Queen Mab, Perry Rapos Productions. Six at Home, Zopira Theatre, and They All Do It, Odyssey Theatre. Now, there isn't any restriction in the Rito Awards for anything nominated in Fringe is eligible to be nominated in other categories, as you can see that happening here. Right. All right.
So it would be nice to get some award gaming going on here, where multinational great corporations wins for Fringe, And then we can still have a showdown between things like Six at Home and Shadows here.
Agreed.
Because,
Agreed.
Yeah.
I think Shadows has a great chance in this category as well, but I would love to see Airport Security take this one.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, HM.
Because otherwise a whole bunch of people will not invite us over anymore.
I'm not sure that it will. I think Shadows might take this one, or Fax. Fax is probably a big favorite of the jury. So I think it'll end up being... I don't think Six at Home has a real chance in this category, but it's a nice nod.
Given what they're up against.
It's a nice nod to the show that was definitely well received. Mm.
I think it's an interesting variety of choices, actually, that came out of the nominations there.
Chris Joseph's only in there, what, twice?
And and they all do it, let's face it, we all kind of think of that as an adaptation and not a new creation, so I don't think it has any chance.
That's
in that
okay,
category.
So I'm not alone in that.
Which one?
They all do it.
They all do
Joseph
it.
Tutte?
Yeah.
Okay, so now we'll move on. Outstanding costume design. Fun. Nominations go to Judith DeBoer, Shadows, Queen Mab, Perry Rapace Productions, Louise Hayden for the Danish play A Company of Fools, Brian Perchuluk, Vimy, Great Canadian Theatre Company, NAC English Theatre, Andrea Robertson, Macbeth, St. Lawrence Shakespeare Festival, and Sarah Waghorn, Turn of the Screw, Screwdriver Collective. This, I believe, is the second nomination for the Screwdriver Collective, which I believe they are the most nominated show in the awards this year.
Which is probably
Turn of the Screw.
Yeah,
which is good, and that was a nice little piece of boutique theater.
Yeah,
that is the culmination of what I, well, from the moment I stepped into the Laurier House, I was like, you know, what needs to be done here is some good Victorian Edwardian ghastly thing where small boys are touched. Basically, Edward Gorey needs to occur, and that's exactly what they put on. So.
Awesome.
But that is exactly what you want to see in that space.
Is very good.
All these
designs are good designs.
All these designs are great. A lot of them are great. Turning the Screw costume is bang on, especially when you realize that you have... it's very simple, though. What was I looking at on here that I was going to say is the same thing. Vimy, I didn't see the Danish play, and I didn't see Macbeth. Can we say that on a podcast? Okay, well, I have now.
You can say it in my house, yes.
Yeah. This doesn't count as a stage. Good. Vimy, again, a lot of that is pretty much determined. It's well done. I'm not going to say it wasn't well done, and I'm not going to say, oh, you didn't have to think very much for that, did you? Because World War One is sort of... The thing about a uniform is it's uniform. No. That was very well done. But Shadows was original. Shadows, all that stuff is Judith DeBoer put that together. There was a unity of theme, and yet it wasn't the same stuff. It didn't look like it at all. It had just been put in a card at Value Village and thrown onto the stage, which is unusual for a fringe show, no matter how long anybody been working on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I am casting my lot.
Yeah, you also mentioned on your blog that the costume design, that the costume changes were central to the action and essential to straightening out the timeline.
Yeah.
So I agree with you there. I think it was challenging as a design, and it was really well pulled off, because not only did it establish time and place, but because they had elements of shows
that
Margo MacDonald's character was in as an actor. Overall, it was all done so well. I have to agree with you. I think Judith DeBoer, that she's definitely
I mean, Sarah Finn's character is basically the hourglass in there. I look to her and I'm like, what's she wearing right now? Okay, I know what part of the story we're in.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was integral to the storytelling of that piece. So, as such, it should be recognized.
Especially, the underlying theme of of being a public persona and a private persona. And that the change of clothing mirrors that. And
yep.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll move on to outstanding set design. Martin Comboy, FAX, Great Canadian Theatre Company, New Theatre of Ottawa. Lynn Cox, Swimming in the Shallows, Arts Court Productions. Brian Perchelek, Vimy, Great Canadian Theatre Company, NAC English Theatre. Brian Smith, Heroes, Great Canadian Theatre Company. And Ivo Valentik, the Danish play, A Company of Fools.
Mm-hmm. I think I only saw Vimy out of that list, but yeah. I love the set.
Yeah, and again, I'm going to reference what you wrote on your blog, because...
I love that you read it, because I...
But you pointed out that the list was not nominated here, and I agree with you. I also really liked
the
design on the list. So
it's
I
got
think
that little bit of Escher to it, but it was an alive set.
Yes.
And yep. I'd love to live in that room. But yeah.
So I agree with you. I feel like that one was missed in this category. I think that what would be my pick? I like Swimming in the Shallows as a potential for this one. I think have to cast your mind back to these things and remember what they looked like.
Mm-hmm. What I like about
Heroes is the only one I didn't see out of that list.
What I like about the Vimy set is that it used the vertical space very well as well. It really gave
that's
that
true.
It brought the NAC to the GCTC, if you want to say it that way. Everybody's gonna hate me for saying that. It's like comparing Ottawa and Toronto, but it gave it that multiple level. It gave you a big show, like a physically big show.
Yeah.
And you could have separation in character, in theme, in time, without time expensive transitions. And if you've ever read the Vimy script, the stage directions are mostly ellipses. It's left a lot of that is left to the direction they did.
I think that the GCTC will take this award either for FAX, Vimy, or Heroes.
Yeah.
That's my prediction for that category.
that's a safe bet.
On the basis of...
Yeah.
Sheer numbers alone.
The odds. 60% chance.
I think it's going to go to one of those.
All right, so we'll move on to outstanding lighting design, where the reverse seems to be true here, that we have doubling up with the actual designers.
Yeah.
And this is also going to highlight the fact that with the pre-Rideau Awards fostering more work between English and French theater, we'll see what happens. Nominees for Outstanding Lighting Design, Lynn Cox, Swimming in the Shallows, Arts Court Productions, Guillaume Mouet, Blackbird, Third Wall Theater, Guillaume Mouet, Turn of the Screw, Screwdriver Collective, Jock Monroe, The List, Great Canadian Theater Company, and Jock Monroe, Vimy, Great Canadian Theater Company, NAC English Theater.
Yeah.
Every time I see Guillaume Mouet light something, I learn something about lighting, and I learn something about my own eyes.
Oh, nice.
Not against anybody.
He would be your pick in this category.
We're splitting. I didn't see Lynn's work for Swimming in the Shallows. If I'm not wrong, she did the lighting for Shadows as well. We can't talk about future Shadows. We can talk about past Shadows. So I have no, yeah, exactly. I have no basis on which to evaluate that. So it's between Guillaume and Jock, who's also great.
But which
production? The list. That's the problem.
Yeah.
The list had great lighting. Lighting did half of the work of the list, as a matter of fact. Vimy had excellent lighting, besides having a huge set to back it up. But Blackbird was very simple, but it was almost reverse light. There was a use of darkness at one point, which I think was what led to this nomination.
Yeah.
And the exact timing that goes with the reestablishment of
sight.
Yes.
I do remember that moment.
That timing moment is what got it on that list.
You're right.
I don't know if it's worth winning for, but... Now, Turn of the Screw, that's great. It's like, here's your acting problem. Your stage is a stairwell.
Mm-hmm.
Deal with it. And
yeah, we agree in this category as well. I say Guillaume for Turn of the Screw.
Exactly
for those reasons, because he took a space that was a stairwell and turned it into a stage. The lighting really made the space for
yes.
Turn of the Screw.
And the lack of it, again, there was use of darkness.
Yes.
There was use, someone who can use both the figure and ground to
he
equal.
So he did so much with so little, and I think that's why he deserves to win in this category.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now we move into the... the big, I think we're into the top five or top six
really
at this
me
point.
For
oh my goodness, top five. Okay, we will go with Outstanding Performance Male. Peter Frolik, Heroes, Great Canadian Theatre Company. Chris Joseph, Macbeth, St. Lawrence Shakespeare Festival. No, I'm not walking out of the room and turning around three times, spitting and demanding to come back in. Chris Joseph, Turn of the Screw, Screwdriver Collective. John Coneskin, Blackbird, Third Wall Theatre. And Paul Rainville, Heroes, Great Canadian Theatre Company.
Yeah, it's a heck of a list, eh?
It is a heck of a list.
And they can't do what the Capitol critics did, which was gracious and wonderful and easy at the same time.
Which was
say,
what?
Which was give it to all three of them for Heroes.
Peter,
Paul, and John.
Again, Heroes is not a show that stuck in my brain.
Which
so.
Is so weird, because it was the one that I heard people who aren't just general audience members talking about. Yeah, that's the fourth member of the podcast. Ooh. Comic relief. But...
I didn't
see Heroes, but I'm one... Yeah.
I think... So, not being a big fan of Heroes, that rules out Peter Frolik and Paul Rainville for me. I'm also not going to go with John Coneskin and Blackbird. So, that leaves Chris Joseph.
That's an ongoing battle, Chris Joseph versus Chris Joseph. Just ask Chris Joseph, he'll tell you.
I think Chris Joseph's Macbeth deserves this award, and that's who I would give it to.
Then it's a shame. Then I'm sad that I didn't see it, because that...
I wouldn't say it was the best production of Macbeth that I've ever seen, but Chris Joseph in it, and Chris Joseph as Macbeth. I mean, I was excited to see that going in, and he did not disappoint.
Good.
He was also great in Turn of the Screw.
Yeah, Turn of the... And he did a lot. He pulled his Pierre Brault out. You know, he played everybody. But he played everybody who wasn't Kate Smith. And that's...
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's
well,
hard. There's only so much the lighting can do there, although it was a fair amount. Oh, my God. All
right,
but,
Nick.
So, by the way, I say
so
go
you're
Chris
saying
Joseph.
Chris Joseph?
Right,
yeah.
Who did you?
I don't remember who
did
I
you
said.
Say?
I didn't. Did I say it should be Chris, but it'll probably be John?
You said Chris Joseph's going to take it, if only because he played 697 characters to Kate Smith's one and did sound effects.
That's true. He was a Foley artist for that.
He was a Foley artist. Awesome.
So we'll move on to Outstanding Performance Female. Screw you, Oscars. We're putting female over the male category. Meh. Sarah Finn, Shadows, Queen Mab, Perry Rapace Productions. Emma Hunter, They All Do It, Odyssey Theatre. Catriona Leger, Someone for Everyone, Night Howl Productions. Sarah McVee, Educating Rita, Arts Court Productions. And Christina Watt, Blackbird, Third Wall Theatre.
Okay, so what I love about this category is that there are two nominations for comedic performances. One being Catriona Leger in Someone for Everyone, and the other one being Emma Hunter in They All Do It. It's
not just drama anymore.
Yeah, and these roles are rare, these comedic roles for women. They're rare anyway, and then for them to be recognized in a best performance category,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to get nominated for comedy,
mm-hmm.
so... I love that those are there.
And those are both local works, if you...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're locally written.
Yeah. I didn't see Educating Rita. I heard lots of good things about Sarah McVee in that show. I'm generally a fan of Sarah McVee's work, so it wouldn't surprise me if that was an award, at least worth a nomination.
Yeah, it was definitely worth a nomination.
I don't really want to see Christina Watt take this for Blackbird. I really hope it goes to Catriona Lege for Someone for Everyone. I don't necessarily think that it will, but she was, for me, literally the best thing about that production. She was mesmerizing. She has incredible physical presence and amazing comedic timing. And I just locked my eyes on her whenever she was on stage, and she made me laugh out loud. She gave a fantastic comedic performance in Someone for Everyone and in Airport Security. I'd love to see her take this. Like I said, I'm not sure that she actually will. It's a surprise that Sarah Finn is nominated for Shadows and Margot MacDonald is not.
There's a lot of discussion right now about who wasn't nominated, and I'm just going to say that there were. This was a very strong year for female performances, and there were a lot of people who didn't make the list that are surprising. So interesting.
I am really surprised that Margot didn't do it, especially because we're talking about Shadows, Mark One. Because if we were talking about Shadows Mark II, yeah, I can see that. Because Sarah is up there. She was like, wow. That's something. You just did that in how many months? Not that it wasn't a brilliant performance. Not even just a good performance. But
I just think it's really interesting.
Kat was great.
I just think it's really interesting that the jurors picked out Sarah's performance, because when you see that on the list and you actually think about it, you realize how much work Sarah Finn does in that show to serve the story and to serve Margot's performance. So sometimes that can be forgettable, and I think for me it was forgettable, but that's not right. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't.
No, but in the same way, it's supposed to be that way, because you're supposed to be.
Sure.
It speaks to Margot as a writer as well.
I'm going to come out and say one thing in this that I found is interesting, is that Kate Smith is the only aspect of Turn of the Screw that wasn't nominated, and I find that
that is
very very interesting. I will use that term judiciously, but
and to have a nomination for Catriona there for Someone for Everyone and not a nomination for Kate Smith for Turn of the Screw, do you know what I mean? Like, Someone for Everyone is not recognized in any other category, and I think that there's a reason for that.
There are a whole host of reasons for that,
right. Whereas So I don't know. I mean, you can always speculate how people go about, you know, parsing their nominations. I suspect at times there is this kind of, well, let's spread it around. You know, over half of all of the English productions that were submitted in 2010 have a nomination for something, over half of them. So to me, that says there is a bit of, let's kind of nominate everyone for something. There's a bit of that I think goes on. It's a bit of, which is a bit of a cheerleading approach to nominating.
Well, at least there's still enough of a fight, though.
Sure.
When it comes down to the punch, they haven't gone as far as the Oscars in saying, let's nominate 10 productions. Because we can't decide which one of these five bad films is the best. But in this, Kate Smith missing. And if I didn't mention it, that was obviously as excellent a performance, better either way, you can't really compare them, as Chris in that, because she has to carry the rest of it, right? And it's difficult. It's a difficult role, because it starts off very stylized, and then ends up abject.
So I think my prediction in this category is that Christina Watt is going to win, but I'd rather see, out of those five people, I'd rather see Catriona win.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
but again, I didn't see educated.
Is that what
reading,
I
so.
Said? I don't remember what I
what
said.
What did Andrew say? He said Sarah Movie's Rita was great, but I don't think it was great enough to take this category. Christina Watt exceeded expectations. Catriona Legge. I think I called it the Catriona Legge vehicle at one point. Maybe it's a good
name. It was.
Watt or Legge will likely take it, and I'll put my money on Legge.
Okay, next is Outstanding Direction. And again, crossover from English to French. Or,
North
sorry,
by
from French to English.
Is the traditional Outstanding Direction.
Okay.
Oh.
So, Joël Beneau's Swimming in the Shallows, Arts Court Productions, and I mean French to English. Mary Ellis, Blackbird, Third Wall Theater, which is her first time directing, as far as I'm aware. Patrick Gauthier, Turn of the Screw, Screwdriver Collective. Lisanne Johnson, Heroes, Great Canadian Theatre Company. And Andy Massingham, 12th Night, Ottawa Theatre School.
Yeah, I believe Mary Ellis has done student productions previous to this. I think this was her first
professional directing
debut.
Yeah.
I'm not thrilled about the fact that she's on this list, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
Again, my perspective on the awards is that they are about recognizing excellence, not just recognizing accomplishment. I feel like the nod to Mary Ellis is to say, good for you, you can direct, rather than to say, out of all of the shows in a particular year, this one was directed, you know, this was one of the best. I also feel like it's weird to me to have her in this company of directors. In a way, it changes the perception of what is a professional director in the city of Ottawa. I'm not entirely comfortable with her name on this list. Period.
Okay.
And I don't feel that work, was exceptional enough to warrant it. It's not just that she's a first-time director. I'm not saying first-time directors shouldn't be nominated, but I'm saying,
because then you'll get the pitchforks after you. There's a problem with pitchforks in this. Yeah.
I think to me this is a nod more to like, oh, she's an actor who's turning into a director, and if that's the case, then nominate her as an emerging artist, because career changes can also be nominated for emerging. So that's what I would say about that. I think I like Joël Beneau's in this category. I like Patrick Gauthier in this category. And I think a similar argument about Mary Ellis could be maybe made about Andy Massingham. I actually really liked Twelfth Night, and his vision for that show I felt was strong and had a big impact on the students that he worked with, and it was a truly collaborative effort that he led and inspired. So I'm more okay with that nomination, but I don't think that he should win in this category. I think it should go to either Joël or Patrick.
Or Patrick, okay.
What did you say?
I probably said Patrick. I probably wasn't as damning about Mary Ellis as you were, but I liked the direction of Blackbird. I thought Blackbird, I love Blackbird overall. Not just because I love everything.
You said Patrick Gauthier for a brilliant site-specific staging of Turn of the Screw.
Yeah.
Right.
Not just because I like the guy. No, but really, I mean, Turn of the Screw obviously made a big impression on me. Not just because it was hot in there, but because that's the way it should be. That again, is the whole experience of it.
Yeah.
And Parks Canada is like my favorite department of the government now, just for letting everybody use that space to do that and being so congenial about it and not requiring 6 months of permits or a DG and a senator to sign off on it.
But Swimming in the Shallows was also a really interesting use of space and had a lot of great transitions
See, I didn't see it, and now I'm regretting that.
It was a tight show, so a well-deserved nomination for Joelle Beddoes there.
It was a very enjoyable evening out, that show. All right, so now we move on. The big of the big, gold medal, outstanding production. Blackbird, Third Wall Theatre. Facts, Great Canadian Theatre Company, New Theatre of Ottawa. Heroes, Great Canadian Theatre Company. Swimming in the Shallows, Arts Court Productions. And Turn of the Screw, Screwdriver Collective.
What did Andrew say about this one on his blog?
I hope I voted for it.
Now, if you want to read Andrew's blog, Andrew, where can we find this?
I forget. what? Nice. It's in my favorites.
If you look up, this is a blog and Andrew Snowden, just Google that, you will find his blog.
Oh, that's who those searches are coming from. I'll probably attach the URL.
Where is...
I did them in order, so it's near the beginning.
I know, but I've been flipping the pages around.
Well, I should have put page numbers. Oh, wait, you should have put page numbers.
Oh, Andrew missed half of these. Shame on you, Andrew.
I can't see everything.
So you could only choose between Blackbird and Turn of the Screw.
Basically.
I see.
Oh, you did say that you're awfully glad Blackbird was nominated because you were afraid it would be overlooked.
Yeah, well, yeah. Apparently the opposite has occurred.
I'm clearly, you can tell by the things that I've said, I'm not a fan of Blackbird.
Not a fan of Blackbird? That's understandable.
A lot of people are, and it shows in the nominations. This was a big favorite. It wasn't for me. Neither was Facts or Heroes. So,
You'll notice I haven't said that I regretted missing Facts or Heroes yet, because I haven't heard anything beyond some praise for Heroes from the general public.
Well,
that has compelled me to.
I just honestly, Heroes did not stick in my mind, so it's not even that I didn't like it and want to rail against it. It's just literally I don't remember it.
Which
so,
is worse. That is worse.
Facts was a good show.
Okay.
Facts was definitely a good show with good performances. It was interesting. It was contemporary. It was a good show. To pick one. I mean, I want to go for the indie show. I want to go for Turn of the Screw. Traditionally, this category is either a Third Wall or a GCTC category. So it will probably go to Third Wall or GCTC. Most likely GCTC. I don't think Swimming in the Shallows actually has a chance in this category. And if Turn of the Screw wins, I will be surprised and elated. it would be my personal pick. If I had to say which one I think will actually win...
Heroes, so that they don't have to give any of them the outstanding mail?
Yeah, I think it could. I think it could very well go to Heroes.
But I mean, it's neat to see two independent productions on this list.
Absolutely.
That's a growth in the theater community here, I think.
Absolutely. You're right that it isn't just a GCTC and Third Wall category.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Turn of the Screw probably got things done on half the budget of half of those shows anyways as well.
And it makes you want to cheer for them. You want to cheer for the little independent.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, and then you have to balance out your underdogness and be like, and look at it and say, "Okay, well,
Again,
those were, that was an experience. I have no problem."
Then you also look at when you're nominating, or if you're choosing, you know, how do you pick these groups, right? How would each person be picked? And then are you looking at technical prowess? Are you looking at ideological prowess? Does that factor into things when people nominate? How it made you think about things, how it made you talk about things, how could that color things, should it not, you know?
And every juror is going to come at that a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because everybody has a different fundamental idea of what theater epitome.
And that could explain
What makes a work exceptional. Yeah. Everybody has a different lens for how they judge that. Yeah.
Like Blackbird has great text, really, at its fundamental. it's fundamental that that is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
To me.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
maybe.
No, I agree with you.
It's mammoth-esque, but it's there. It's and maybe that's why it's good. Who knows? But that's a fundamental philosophical, so I like what they did with it.
Now, unfortunately, we're unable to go through the French theater nominations
mm-hmm.
by virtue of the fact that
we suck.
We didn't see anything.
But
did
there's
I see
a
nothing?
there's a lot of things that are noteworthy that I saw compared with last year. There's a lot of nominations for productions that Guillaume is involved in.
Go Guillaume!
Yeah.
And Geneviève Couture nominated a lot. Both, I think she's as an actress. Possibly. Let me go and take a look here. Yeah, as an actress and as a costume designer. Costume designer twice, actress once. You know, you see the transfer over, like I was saying, English and French. Ivo Valentic, who usually works in English, nominated for French category for set design for the production Afghanistan by Théâtre des Quatre Épées. Guillaume's actually nominated 3 of the 4 nominations for lighting.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. What was it? We were like, how many nominations did Chris Joseph get? And it's like, well, so did Guillaume.
Yeah.
He's been involved in everything.
Yeah.
That is Ottawa's strength. That is Ottawa's key strength over, and maybe in the 100-year view, what will bring it. What will bring when Ottawa's culture is in a mature adult phase, which I don't believe it is right now. I may be wrong, but I don't believe it is. Our strength, what puts us ahead in the long run of Toronto, of Vancouver even, which is so far away it might as well be in another country, and of
is what?
Even
spit
Montreal.
It out. What is the strength?
I'm not there yet. Okay, so she can't go to any 2.5-hour shows.
Rarely.
Is
90 minutes, baby. No intermission.
Like this podcast. Let's get going.
I'm going to say like hot yoga. And anyways, is the bilingual aspect of it not... Is that interplay of French and English, and you're saying that's it? No, but that is it. Is that they're not integrated, but they interplay.
Mm.
And we have exchange while we still have the separateness,
one
which
thing,
is great.
Oh, sorry.
Because it's like a huge dynamo.
Cool. There's one thing that I will go on record as saying, and I think if I have my druthers, I hope to see this in the future. Is I think the Rideau Awards needs an ensemble category. Because theater, in the way that it's moving forward these days, is harder and harder to single out solos or to give actors enough meat and potatoes to work with that they can give a solo award. And I think that there's a lot more ensemble creation that should be recognized that is prevented from doing so with the current structure.
And that would solve the heroes problem.
It would solve the heroes problem.
Absolutely.
And they would have
yeah.
more nominations. I think you'd have more nominations of other shows that just can't really factor in
mm-hmm.
elsewhere. Because there's the role distribution is too balanced.
It's an interesting point, and I'd like in the future for us to have more conversations about, and we'll talk at some point after the gala about
yeah.
the winners and how it reflects
mm-hmm.
and celebrates the work that's happening and sort of maybe what's missing, and that might be one of the elements.
And we have
because it's interesting this whole award bugaboo.
Yeah,
bugaboo.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't have an award for everything, right? We can't, you know, you can't award front of house, and you can't award U tape cables down really well, and
right,
you know, your spike marks are some of the best in the industry. So
we ought to do that. I mean, they do. They do have the technical Oscars, right? So.
Yeah, an entire separate
for the key grip.
For the
yeah.
key grip.
Oh, one of the interesting things to note in the French awards is one of their outstanding emerging. They only have 3 nominations for outstanding emerging artist. 2 of them are for acting. The other person is for dramaturgy, which I think
is
really special.
Is good.
Yeah.
That is good.
Yep. That's an dramaturgs are the unsung heroes of theater.
Absolutely. Yeah. But anything that is not entirely visible when you go to see a production becomes difficult to judge based on any kind of criteria, right? You have to be very, you have to have intimate knowledge of how something is created in order to recognize anything that is quote unquote behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all difficult. I mean, you want to recognize people's work who aren't just actors.
Yeah.
But to
how do you know that?
Well, that's like with Vimy, I had to go and get a copy of it to be like, okay, how much of that was text and how much of it was direction? Because I want to know who to
give credit to. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And Shadowcutter is the same thing. People are someone said not enough direction. I'm like, well, how much was each of the three of them, because they work very closely together, or at least none of them said that they didn't. And is it that the balance was off, or is it that there wasn't enough, or is it that there was too much, or...
And we speculate on these things, but how much...
But the only way you could know is by being in... The only way you could know for sure is by being in such a position that you would be completely and utterly disqualified from expressing an opinion on it.
From actually voting to nominate an award. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
I think we should wrap it up.
That's fantastic. Yeah. If you can't make it to the Rito Awards, the Rito Awards will be live tweeting the results.
But it's much better to be there. It's much better to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. Buy your tickets. A fantastic location. Maison du Citoyen is really easy to get to. It's right near the Museum of Civilization at the corner of Laurier and Hotel de Ville.
Yeah. And there are maps available online. Their map is really easy to read.
Yeah, easy to get to by bus. You can take STO or OC Transpo from the Rideau Center very easily to get there.
Mm-hmm. Dress up unless you are a member of the French theater community or a playwright.
If there is anything you have heard in this episode or any other that you would like to comment on, we do now have an email address.
Do you?
OttawaTheaterConfidential@gmail.com. We will read comments on future episodes if we get some interesting ones. So
fantastic.
You feel passionately and you want to send us a letter, or you just want to tell us what you think of the podcast, please do. OttawaTheaterConfidential@gmail.com.
Feel free to also rate us on iTunes and provide any comments you have there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here today, guys. Now get out of my house.
Sorry.
Split this up.
Not particularly.